Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
All right, let's get into the Word today. We're going to finish our series, Elisha, Double Portion Prophet today. And the prophet Elisha, as we're finding him, is near the end of his life. He's near the end of his life. In fact, he has fallen sick. And as we're going to read in just a few moments, the sickness that he has is the sickness that he will die from. He is on the way out. And there is a very strange exchange that happens at the end of his life between Elisha, the prophet, and the next king who is in Israel. There's been some transition that has taken place in leadership, and it's a king of Israel by the name of Joash, or in other ways, it's also Jehoash. It might confuse you in that way. Same guy in Israel. And there's this exchange that happens. Now, how many have ever come to a place, if you've been reading your Bible, particularly as you're going through the Old Testament, because this happens probably more there than necessarily in the New Testament, and you come across a passage of Scripture that you're like, this is weird. Am I the only one? Like, I don't understand this. Like, why is this in here? Like, what does this have to do with anything? Anybody know? And if you're, sometimes here's what we do. We kind of read over that and we go, well, that was weird. And then we move on. And this is one of those passages, I have to be honest with you, that for a little while, it's one of those things where I would read and I would go, okay, well, that's interesting. That's kind of weird. I don't know that I really understand it. And then just kind of move on. But honestly, I believe that when we look at the context of this passage of Scripture, that there is a treasure that is unlocked in this particular passage, and some great lessons that come about embracing and understanding the moment when God wants to bring breakthrough in our lives. Is there anyone in need of breakthrough this morning in your life? Breakthrough in your life. I believe that there are some principles in this passage that have to do with breakthrough. And it's not something that just affects the king of Israel. In fact, this is something that has the potential to affect the nation of Israel. And so if you've come today and you are in need of breakthrough, maybe you're tired of the same old problems plaguing you over and over again. Maybe you've had some battles in your life, some things where you battled and you thought you got victory and then only to find yourself battling the same thing again. Anybody been there before? When we look at the context of what's happening in this passage, we're going to see that there is a consistency to some battles, and there's an opportunity and a moment that God wants to bring breakthrough. And so today, I believe that God wants to stir somebody's faith to encourage you to keep fighting and to receive the breakthrough today that you've been waiting for. So before we get into the story, how many of you know sometimes the backstory is important, right? Whenever you read a book, they sometimes will flash back because they want to give you some context to the situation that is occurring in the present. And so to understand what's happening in the present, we've got to go back. We've got to take a look at the context. From a theological perspective, when I was in Bible college, they would call this to look exegetically at the passage. Doesn't that sound interesting? Exegetically. Y'all are nodding off already. We'll just call it backstory. How about that? So throughout the days of Elisha the prophet, now we have been following his line. So if you've been a part of this series, if you're new, it's okay. I'm going to catch you up real quick. But if you've been following along, you know that throughout the days of Elisha, there was a particular nation that continued to be the nation that fought Israel. Throughout Scripture, you'll see that. With David, it was the Philistines, right? The Philistines kept coming after David. And when they were wandering in the wilderness, it was the Moabites that kept fighting. Oftentimes, there are certain nations that just become that rival nation. It's kind of like the Buckeyes and that other team that won yesterday up north. Or the Browns or that team that Pastor Sam likes. Oh, gosh. Man. Yeah, that team that starts with a, in that city that starts with a P. Yeah, you all know what I'm talking about, right? That kind of rivalries, right? Kind of rival, but there was this nation that continued to be an enemy for Israel throughout the days that Elisha was prophet. And we get a glimpse of them in 2 Kings chapter 5. In fact, one of their army commanders had leprosy. I remember that story. His name was Naaman. And he was the captain of the army of Syria. But the context of that is the reason that he came looking to Elisha the prophet for healing is because he had an Israelite girl that had been captured in one of the raids in Israel. So the Syrian army. And then we find out that these raids progressed into taking territory. And battles for territory. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, we read that the Syrian king was looking to ambush the nation of Israel. And while they're doing their planning, he and his generals are doing their planning in secret. God is showing the prophet Elisha what's going on. And he's warning the king of Israel. Remember that story? And then that king gets mad because he realizes that Elisha's doing this, and so he sends his army, and they surround Elisha's house. Remember that a couple of weeks ago? And Elisha prays for God to open his servant's eyes and for God to blind the eyes of the army, and he leads them into the city of Samaria, where the king of Israel was, and instead of killing them, they fed them and sent them home, and for a while, there was relief from their enemies. But as we saw last week, they came back again. And the king of Syria came back this time, and the army surrounded the army in chapter 6 and 7, surrounded the city of Samaria and began to lay siege to it, in which they got so desperate, they were doing things that were very inhumane. Eating of their children. That's how bad it was. Go back and listen to the message last week. You'll understand more. And the king of Israel was ready to give up. And he didn't understand, and he was blaming God for the problems that were going on. And Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, bread will be sold for just pittance. You'll have enough to eat. And the servant said, I don't think that's going to happen. And God did it in 24 hours, completely turned the economy around and caused the enemy to flee. The Syrian army. Well, from there, it just continues. These battles just continue against the Syrian army. Throughout the time of Elisha, this is the enemy that continues to come against the nation of Israel. And Elisha's been the prophetic voice. He has been the spiritual father in this nation during every battle. And every leader has gone to Elisha and they have said, what do we do? What do we do? You are the one that has these words. You are the spiritual light in Israel. But now we're going to be in the context where Elisha has got an illness and he is about to pass away. And a new king has come in and he's panicked. Why? Because he recognizes that the one that they have gone to every time the enemy has attacked, the one that they have looked to for spiritual, to give them spiritual wisdom, is about to pass. And throughout that time, God tried Elisha's life to get the attention of Israel and its leaders. He's demonstrated his power to heal. He demonstrated his power to deliver. He demonstrated his power to provide. He demonstrated his power to save over and over and over again. And yet each time Israel continues to turn back and continues to worship other gods until they get desperate again and they go to Elisha for him to come in and give them victory. And he does. And as it came to the Syrian army, they continued to cause great harm to the king of Israel, even through leadership changes. In fact, in 2 Kings 8, Elisha weeps over the pain that he knows is coming to Israel through the Syrian army and Syrian king, a new king that was about to take over. And now we fast forward to where we're going to be today in 2 Kings chapter 13. So if you have a copy of God's word, 2 Kings chapter 13. It's going to be on the screen. It's also in the app notes if you have the Church Center app. Things have not changed. Leaders have changed. But things have not changed. Jehoahaz, who is Joash's father, the current king that we'll see in our story in a little bit, Joaz is his father. and he did evil, scripture says, in the sight of the Lord. In verse 3, 2 Kings 13:3, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them continually into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael. You see, the enemy continued to come. They continued to disobey the Lord. They continued to stop trusting the Lord. And God allowed the enemy to continue to come and continue to attack and continue to take ground in their nation. And verse 7 says this, for there was not left to Jehoahaz an army of more than 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust at the threshing floor. So what's happening here? The enemy continues to decimate them. The enemy continues to decimate them. They have had victory over the enemy, but because they've not obeyed the Lord, they have continued to be ravaged by the enemy. Now you say, well, what does this have to do with me? Let's turn it to your life and the enemies that continue to come at you. And at times, you've gotten great victory. And then when things get better, you stop trusting in the Lord and you start to allow the enemy to attack you again. And there are some of you that have been facing consistent issues in your life, consistent battles in your life with the enemy. And there are times where you've had moments of great victory, but there are also times where you've had moments of great defeat where the enemy has just taken from you and you feel like your resources and your life are depleted. It's quiet in here. Right? These things, maybe it's a besetting sin. I've gotten victory and then all of a sudden I go back. And it starts to attack me and it starts to take things from me and take things from my life. Maybe it's depression. I've experienced joy, but man, those depressive thoughts just keep coming and keep coming. And I don't think I'm ever going to get breakthrough. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get past this in my life. You see, this is a picture symbolically. God has wanted to get Israel's attention, and he has done miracles, and he's done healing, but they continue to be plagued by the same enemy over and over and over again until he's taken ground in their nation, taken territory from them, taken resources from them, and they feel depleted. Now Joash is king of Israel. And there's a critical moment that is happening in his life. A critical moment in his leadership. And Elisha the prophet, who's been so instrumental in providing the wisdom for the kings of Israel, the one who has been used when they've needed a miracle from God that they've gone to, and he said, the Lord is going to do this, and God has miraculously done this. This Elisha has fallen ill and is at the place near death, and Joash goes down to visit him. And we skip ahead to verse 14. Now when Elisha had fallen sick in the illness of which he was to die, Joash, king of Israel, went down and wept before him, crying, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. See, what Joash realizes here is that Elisha is not going to be with them much longer. He knew the power and wisdom that Elisha had. He knew the stories over the years with his own father and with those who had been kings before, where Elisha had been the man of God for Israel. And Joash was coming down to get something from Elisha before Elisha dies. And the cry that Joash utters is found in only one other place in Scripture. And I want you to understand something. This is the key that I believe unlocks our understanding of this passage. I was telling the worship team in the back that as I was praying through this passage, I found myself just struggling this week. Like, God, I don't understand. Do you really want me to preach out of this passage? Until I made this connection. And it was as if God gave a key that just unlocked a treasure in this passage. There's one other time that what Joash utters that you might not understand. Let me read it one more time. My father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. You have to go back to 2 Kings chapter 2 to see where this very phrase was uttered once before. How many remember that there was a prophet by the name of Elijah who preceded Elisha? And God had spoken to Elijah and he had said, I'm about to take you from the earth. Your time is short. And just like this is at the end of Elisha's days, that in 2 Kings chapter 2 was the time that was at the end of Elijah's days. And Elisha is following him around and not letting his mentor out of his sight. Remember that. And finally, his mentor says to him, Elijah says to him, what do you want from me? And he says, I want a double portion of your anointing. I want a double portion of your anointing. I want a double portion of the power of God that is on your life. I want a double portion of that. And Elijah says, that's not mine to give. You're asking a hard thing. But if you see me when I am taken up, it shall be yours. And Elijah presses in, and Elijah's following him all around and keeping his eye. And then all of a sudden, there's a whirlwind that is coming and a storm that is coming, and the two of them are separated. And Elisha's keeping his eyes as much as he can on Elisha. And in that moment, when Elijah is being taken up into heaven, this is what it says in 2 Kings 2:12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, get this, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen, and he saw him no more. Do you see the parallel? Some of you see it. These are the same words spoken by Joash. Decades later, at the end of Elisha's life, just like the end of Elijah's life, a transition of spiritual leadership in Israel was taking place. The enemy was not defeated. And Joash, as a new young king, I don't know what to do. You can't leave me. You can't go away from me. I don't know what to do. I recognize that there is a transition that is taking place and that there is a moment spiritually where something is really critical that's happening in this moment. And he goes down to the prophet Elisha and he utters the same words that Elisha had uttered when Elijah was being taken up from him. My father, the chariots and the horsemen. He's recognizing something. Elisha is dying and he says, I need something from you. We are at a critical place spiritually, a place of transition. The enemy's been attacking over and over and we're at a critical place. Some of you today, you are in a critical place spiritually in your life. You're at a critical place spiritually in your life. I felt this morning. I felt this as I was writing this message. That there is a prophetic word for somebody in here, somebody watching online, maybe more than one, that you are at a critical place spiritually in your life. There is a desperate moment. Joash was in a desperate moment, friends. Joash was in a desperate moment. And he recognized that there was a transition that was taking place. So what are the principles that we can see? Number one. It's all about God's power, not about yours. This breakthrough that needs to happen in your life, what you need to take hold of and embrace in your life spiritually, it's not about you and your power. You've got to learn how to recognize God's power. God's power. Listen, Elisha has been the man who's filled with the power of God. In fact, throughout, he's called the man of God. Sometimes his name isn't even used. He's called the man of God. He's been the man of God to provide wisdom to kings. He's been the man of God that has overcome Israel, that has helped Israel overcome their enemies. He's been the man of God that has been used to bring healing. He's been the man of God that has been used to raise the dead. He's been the man of God that God has used to do miracles, double that of his mentor Elijah, double portion on his life. But he's ill. and he's about to die. So where will that power come from? Where will that wisdom come from? Where will the spiritual leadership in Israel come from in this moment? Where will the spiritual leadership come from? And following this desperate plea from Joash, this is what Elisha does. He gives instructions, verse 15. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. And so he took a bow and arrows. And then he said to the king of Israel, draw the bow. And he drew it. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open up the window eastward. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. You like the play-by-play? Right? And he said, this is really important. The Lord's arrow of victory. The arrow of victory over Syria. Who is Syria? That's that enemy we talked about. That's why context is important. The enemy that kept plaguing them over and over and over again. The enemy that they couldn't seem to get complete victory over. Look what he says. Look what he says. Look what he says. The Lord's arrow of victory. The arrow of victory over Syria. For you shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end to them. In other words, the Lord's arrow of victory. The Lord wants you to get complete victory and breakthrough over this enemy that all the days that I've been prophet here has continued to come against Israel, has continued to come and take territory from you, that has come to deplete your resources and make you feel as if you are nothing. God says, the Lord's arrow of victory. I want to give you victory, complete victory, and end over your enemy. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying here. Whose arrow of victory? Whose power? The Lord's power. You got to take the bow, right? But whose arrow of victory is it? It's not your arrow. It's the Lord's arrow of victory. Listen, he instructed him, open the east window and shoot the area. East was the direction of Syria. When you took an arrow and you began to fight it in the direction of your enemy, you were provoking war. You were, in essence, you were declaring war. And he's saying to him, listen, your resources are depleted. I know that. You don't have the power. I know that. But by faith, open up that window. You shoot that arrow because it's the Lord's arrow of victory. And I want to give you complete, the Lord wants to give you complete victory over your enemy. Over your enemy. It was an act of faith. Taking hold of the bow was the hold of the power of God. Now, let me tell you something. Notice what Elisha doesn't do. We sometimes look at what people do. Notice what he doesn't do. Elisha doesn't pick up the arrow himself, and he doesn't fire it out the window. Why? Because this wasn't going to be Elisha's moment. This was going to be Joash's moment. Joash, you pick up the bow. Joash, you shoot the arrow. Why? Because God wants to use you. God has used me, but I'm about to die. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Friends, let me tell you something. It's not about your power. It's about God's power. But God's power works through you and I. God's power works through you and I. Even in our weakness, he is made strong. It is not about somebody else. Some of you have been borrowing faith for too long from somebody else. You've been borrowing faith from somebody else. Every time you do okay, then you get in trouble and you go to whoever that spiritual person is and they build you up and there is encouragement and there needs to be. But friends, for far too long, some of us have not picked up the responsibility that is ours to learn how to lean in and trust in the power of God in our lives. What God wants to do in and through us. Elisha had his moment, but now Elisha's time was coming to an end and there was a transition. And he is saying to Joash in this moment, who just like Elisha said to Elijah, oh, my father, the horsemen and the chariots. Joash utters the same thing and Elisha recognizes there's a transition coming. I've been the spiritual leader, but I believe Joash, it's your time to step up, take the bow. It's your time to step up, take the bow and watch what God God wants to do through you. It is the Lord's arrow of victory. The power is the Lord's and not yours. But somebody's got to step up and take the bow. Somebody's got to step up and take the bow. Somebody's got to pick it up and shoot it out. Somebody's got to step up. And I believe that God is saying today that there is somebody that God wants you to lead victory. Victory in your life. Victory for your family. Victory for your neighbors. Victory for your community. God wants to use you, but you got to pick up the bow. You got to pick up the bow. Ooh, I'm preaching better than some of you are saying amen today. Come on. Listen, when Elisha was surrounded, whose power was it that blinded the enemy? Whose power did Elisha cry out to? God. He was in tune with God. It was God's power. Who was it that routed the enemy when there was the siege around Samaria? It was what? God's power. Elisha didn't go out there and fight anything. Elisha recognized what God was going to do, and he perceived and said, have faith, God's going to do this. Elisha's saying, listen, it's the Lord's arrow of victory. It is not your power. It's not your strength. It's not your willpower. It's not your resources. It's not your gifts. It's not your talent. It's not your wisdom. It's not your money. It's got to be done through God's power. Pick up the bow. As Jeff Roman used last week, 2 Peter 1:3, God's divine power has been given us everything we need for life and godliness. The bow and arrow symbolizes God's power to deliver Israel once and for all. And Elisha encourages Joash, pick it up. This is your moment. Pick it up. This is your moment. Pick it up. This is your moment. My time is coming, but this is your moment. Who's going to pick up the bow? Who's going to pick up the bow? Who's going to pick up the bow? Now listen. We understand true breakthrough comes when we learn to take hold of the power of God rather than rely on our own strength. But also number two, you and I got to learn how to discern the moment. We've got to learn how to discern the moment. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Discern the moment. Listen, there's a small detail right in those verses we just read that is easily overlooked. But I want to read it again because I don't want you to overlook it today. Oh, come on. This is good. Stay with me. If your neighbor's asleep, elbow them and say, Pastor says it's about to get good. Wake up. Right? Here it is. Discern your moment. 2 Kings 13:16. Then he said to the king of Israel, draw the bow, and he drew it. Look at this next sentence. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. So the king had to pick up the bow. But Elisha lays his hands on the king's hands. You know what's happening here? This is transference, what's happening right here. In the Bible, when the elders of the church are called to pray over the sick, they're called to lay hands on them. They're called to lay hands on them. When people were being filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, oftentimes there was the laying on of hands. And again, there's no power inside of me, but God will oftentimes have a transference of power. There's a transference that is happening. Remember the context of this. Elisha, at the end of Elijah's life, made the same cry. And when he went up to heaven, what happened? The mantle of God began to fall down. And Elisha took hold of it and put it around him. The mantle of God represented the anointing that was on Elijah's life. But as Elijah was taken up, let me tell you something. The anointing didn't need to go up because there's not an anointing that is needed in heaven. The anointing is needed on earth. The power is needed on earth. The anointing is needed on earth. Elisha's about to go the way, and he's recognizing Joash in this moment, and there's a transition that needs to take place in terms of the spiritual leadership of Israel and what's happening. And he says, pick up the bow. This is your moment. And then he lays hands on him. And as he lays hands on that bow, what he's saying is, oh, come on. The Lord wants to anoint you. The Lord wants to anoint you in this moment. The Lord wants to anoint you in this moment that you might get breakthrough for Israel. Complete breakthrough. Complete breakthrough over your enemy. The Lord wants to do that in you. And so there's this moment. There's this moment where God is wanting to increase the spiritual anointing and authority and leadership in Joash's life. Come on, I want to say that again. There is a moment where in Joash's life, God wants to increase his level of authority and anointing to be used by God in defeating the enemy and beginning to lead the nation of Israel the way that God had desired. This is what God is wanting to do in this moment. In this moment. Remember, the Lord's arrow of victory, right? The Lord's arrow of victory over Syria, verse 17. For you shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end to them. And then Elisha gives him these instructions. Look at the next set of verses. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. And he struck three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry at him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you made an end of it. But now you will strike down Syria only three times. What's happening here? What's happening here? What's happening here is that Elisha had given instructions and said, he laid his hands on him. And in that moment, he laid his hands and he recognizes what's happening. And take the arrow. It's the Lord's arrow of victory. The Lord wants to give you complete victory over your enemy. Complete victory over your enemy. God wants to do this now in faith. Take these arrows. And really what this means is shoot the ground. He wasn't taking the arrows and strike it. But either way, you can look at it either way. Strike the ground with it. And I want you to strike the ground with it. I want you to take hold of it. I want you to discern the moment that you're in. I want you to discern the moment that you're in, and I want you to strike the ground with it. Remember when Elisha was following Elijah, there were a lot of obstacles and there were a lot of voices and there were a lot of people that were saying to Elisha, hey, don't you know that your master's going to leave you? Don't you know what's coming? And he said, be quiet. And then there was the Jordan River and it had to cross over, and what am I going to do? And he had to follow, not knowing how he was going to get back or whether God was going to answer. But you know what? It didn't matter, because I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And then there was the whirlwind and the fire, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you. There was a passion in Elisha who was discerning and understanding the moment that he was in, the moment of transition and the moment that he was in. And here it is with Joash, the moment that he is in. But friends, he did not discern the moment. For when given the opportunity to strike the ground, he just half-heartedly. Am I done? Half. Only giving half. Only going halfway. The third principle, keep striking the ground. Elisha's upset. If you'd have struck the ground five or six times, you would have had complete victory. But how could this isn't fair. Elisha didn't say how many times. He just said, strike the ground, right? He just said, strike the ground. Elisha, it's not fair. You didn't tell me how many times I was supposed to do. You didn't tell me how many times. It's not fair. You didn't tell me how many times. Yeah, and I didn't tell you to stop either. You have more arrows in your quiver. The Lord's arrow of victory, you had more in there, but you didn't discern the moment. You had more in there, but you didn't keep striking the ground. You didn't keep going after the enemy until it was completely out of your life. You didn't keep praying and persevering until you got your miracle. You stopped short. You didn't keep going after God. Oh, you made a commitment. God, I'm going to go after you. And then you started, and then you stopped. Well, I read my Bible one day, 2 days. But, you know, I got really busy the third day, and then the fourth day it was busy again, and the fifth day it was busy again. I don't understand why I can't get spiritual breakthrough in my life. Friends, there's a moment. Joash was in a moment. He was in a moment, but he didn't discern the moment he was in. The passion was not there. He didn't discern and say, this is the moment where I'm about to, God's about to do something in my life. God's about to bring breakthrough. God's about to increase the level of my authority, the level of my anointing. God's about to do something spiritually to break through in my nation or in my family or in my life. He didn't discern it and he stopped halfway. Friends, discern the moment. Discern the moment that you are in. Discern the moment that you are in. Listen, you can miss an appointment, but don't miss a moment. You can reschedule an appointment, but you can't reschedule a moment. Do you discern the moment that you're in? The moment when God is working in your life and wanting to bring breakthrough in your life. You can feel it. You can taste it. You know what you've been up against. And you've been praying and praying. And then you're in that moment. You're in that moment. You're in that moment. And you're going, I know God wants to do that. And then all of a sudden you stop short. Don't miss the moment. Joash missed the moment. He didn't get the breakthrough. He missed the moment. Oh, he got a couple of victories out of it. 2-3 victories out of it. We see it at the end of the passage. He got 2 or 3 victories out of it. But he didn't completely destroy the enemy. He didn't completely get victory over the enemy. And it didn't just affect his life, but it affected the nation that he was called to lead. And Elisha was angry. He was angry at the half-hearted commitment, but I think he was angry for more than that because as Joash missed the moment, listen, there's something that happens. There's something that happens in the next verse. Worship team, will you come? There's something that happens in the next verse. It's weird. It seems completely disconnected. This is what it says. So you have this moment, all right? Oh, my father, the horseman and the chariots. All right, pick up the bow, open the east window, shoot it out. The Lord's arrow of victory, right? The Lord's arrow of victory. Places his hands on the Lord. Now strike the ground. 1, 2, 3. No! Why did you stop? If you'd have struck it 5 or 6 times, you'd have had complete victory over your enemy. And then the next verse, verse 20. So Elisha died and they buried him. I mean, seriously. But the verse doesn't end there. The verse doesn't end there. It moves. And it's almost like this disconnected, like, what is going on here? Like, what, like scene change. Like, what just happened? So Elisha died and they buried him. Now, bands of Moabites used to invade the land in the spring of the year. And as a man was being buried, behold, a marauding band was seen. And the man was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And as soon as the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. That's the final miracle that makes it double the amount of miracles of Elijah, by the way. And that seems like so cool, right? Oh my goodness, even Elisha is dead in his death. They throw a dead man on top of him and he comes back to life. But can I share with you something sad? Can I share with you something sad? When Elijah went up into heaven, the mantle of his anointing came down and Elisha picked it up. But when Elijah dies, the anointing stays with him in the tomb and in the grave. The anointing stays with them in the tomb and the grave when it should have been in Joash and Joash's leadership. Instead, it goes to the grave with Elisha. And what happens in a few chapters later is that Israel is surrounded by a new enemy, the Assyrians, and they're completely destroyed and taken captive. Why? Because Joash missed the moment. Joash missed the moment to get complete breakthrough. Joash missed the moment of being able to receive the anointing, to be able to receive the anointing of the victory, to be able to receive the anointing in that moment, to be able to receive what he needed that wasn't just going to affect the spiritual life of his nation, or of his life, but his entire nation, perhaps his family as well. So I believe, friends, that today we're in a moment. We're in a moment. There are some of you, you're in a moment. Today is a divine appointment. Don't miss it. Today is a divine appointment. God wants to give somebody victory today. It's not by your power, it's by his. God wants to give somebody victory. Today, God wants to increase the anointing and the calling and the authority and the leadership in somebody's life. There's been vision that's been stirring in your life. You've been seeing some things and you know what God wants you to do, and you've been kind of afraid to take hold of it. But God says, will you take the bow today? Will you take the bow today? Will you learn how to walk in my power and in my strength? I've got an anointing that I want to put on your life today. I've got an anointing I want to put on your life today. Will you discern the moment? Will you discern the moment? Will you press into me this morning? Will you press into me this morning? And will you take hold of what I want to give to you in this moment? For some of you, it's breakthrough. For some of you, it's healing. For some of you, it's answered prayer today. For some of you, there's a leadership anointing on your life that God wants you to take hold of. Like Joash, are you going to half-heartedly do it, or are you going to go all in and say, God, I want more. God, I want more. I'm going to keep striking the ground. I'm going to keep striking the ground. I'm going to keep striking the ground until I get complete victory in my life, until I get all that you have for me. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, this cannot be my words or a motivational speech. But I believe, Holy Spirit, you are speaking to some people in this room right now. You're speaking to some who are online right now. Maybe they're watching right now in this moment live today. Maybe they're going to be watching tomorrow or later in the week. But God, in this moment, Holy Spirit, you have been speaking to some that there is a moment right here. There's a moment where you want to touch their lives. There's a moment right here where, God, you want to lead them into a place of victory. You want to lead them to a new level of spiritual anointing and breakthrough in their lives. Holy Spirit, right now, right now, right now, begin to speak. Just listen to his voice. Discern the voice of the Lord. Discern the voice of the Lord. God is calling some of you right now to discern his anointing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Paintsville Assembly of God, visit paintsvilleag.com.